if I'm helping you, then that means that this crap pain and all this stuff that I've gone through, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Welcome to the Believe in Dog podcast. I'm your host, Erin Scott, and I've been a dog mom for over 20 years. On this podcast, we are going to celebrate the amazing parts of being a pet parent. We're going to navigate the challenges together and learn everything that dog moms and dog dads should know. I believe that dogs can show up in our lives as healers, as teachers, and as inspirations. And I can't wait to get started. This is Believe in Dog. Welcome to episode 92 of the Believe in Dog podcast. I'm your host, Erin Scott, and thank you so much for being here today. Our guest today is Nancy Mello, an animal communicator, psychic medium, and creator of the Creature Preacher podcast. Have you ever had one of those moments where you just feel so incredibly in sync and attuned with your dog, and you wonder, like, am I doing animal communication right now? I mean, once you get to know your dog for so long, it almost feels like you guys are communicating with each other, and you are, whether you know it or not. At least I believe that. And so I think the idea of being an animal communicator is not only a real thing, but also something that would be really cool or awesome to experience. But that hasn't always been Nancy's story. In fact, she tried her best to repress her abilities and just live a normal military spouse life until she was in her 30s. I almost think I should have waited and saved this episode for Halloween or something, because something kind of strange and freaky happened during the recording process that's never happened to me in any of the 90-some interviews that I've done now over the past almost 5 years. Nancy and I were having a really intense conversation about her childhood experiences when all of a sudden, boom, we just lost all communication, like all network connectivity, everything dropped. My computer froze. It completely restarted itself out of the blue. And if that isn't just like weird enough, because I've never had that happen while I was recording before, I have had recording interruptions before. And any other time it's happened, my recording platform saves the first however many minutes that we have. And so a lot of times we can just pick right up and jump right into it where we left off. But this is the only time that something like this has ever happened when I was recording. And there was no saved files on hand. Not for me, not for Nancy, which each person's interview is recorded separately on their own end before being uploaded to the cloud. Like, everything was just completely gone. And I've never had that happen before. So that was definitely a little freaky and creepy. And I'll tell you more about my conversation with Nancy after this word from one of my favorite sponsors. Even though February was Pet Dental Health Month, we really need to care about our dog's dental health all year long. I recently learned that 80% of our dogs over 3 years old have active dental or periodontal disease. And dental disease is actually a sign of other inflammation in the body and can be connected to everything from cardiovascular problems, kidney problems, diabetes, certain types of cancers, joint disease. Your dog's dental health actually can affect everything in their body. And you know that I am obsessed with finding the best and healthiest products for our dogs. So I was so excited to find out about Teef. That's right, Teef. Just a tiny spoonful of Teef powder in your dog's water bowl will make a huge improvement in your dog's dental health. It's the only thing that ever made my vet stop and go, "Hey, what did you do with Penny's teeth? They actually look so much better." So forget trying to figure out how to get your dog's teeth brushed without them biting you. Forget those sticks or green chews. What you need is Teef powder, just a tiny amount in your dog's water bowl. And listeners of this podcast can save 20% on your Teef order with the code ADM. and you'll be on your way to a healthier smile for your dog without any anesthesia needed. Check out the link in the show notes to find out more about Teef and save 20% on your orders. This code will work on their cat product too. If you've listened to the Believe in Dog podcast before, you probably already know that I always start off asking about my guests' childhood experiences with pets, because I am not somebody who grew up with animals. It didn't come to me until later in life, kind of begrudgingly at first. And so I'm always curious if these people who I get to interview for being these amazing dog world people, right? Like, are they somebody that grew up like the Disney princess with like the animals following them and the birds landing on their shoulders? Or did they grow up like me where they didn't even know they liked dogs until they were an adult? And this is always interesting to me. And so my conversation with Nancy about her childhood experiences with animals and with her abilities gets really vulnerable right off the bat, because Nancy's family of origin did not support her abilities from an early age or from any age, really. And so I want you to take care while listening to some of her family struggles. And I'm so grateful to her for sharing with us in the way that she did, because I think we all have things about ourselves that are different and that we can relate to her story in our own way. And Nancy's also kind of funny that she's not into being woo-woo. And if you see her social media profile and videos on TikTok or Instagram, you'll definitely know this about her. And she talks some about what her ethics are as an animal communicator once she finally embraced this part of her life. And I thought it was definitely a good thing to think about, because I know so many people who are interested in working with an animal communicator, but they worry about being taken advantage of. And so I appreciate Nancy giving us some guidelines of maybe what we'd want to look for when we work with someone who is an animal communicator or doing some other kind of practice where we just have to go into it with faith rather than something that's more tangible in its results. One of the things I was curious to ask Nancy about are, what are some of the common messages that she hears, if any, from our animals, and what do they want us to know? And I think this is so important, and I hope that if you walk away with nothing else from this episode, that you'll walk away with what the number one and number two things are that our pets want us to know. We're also going to talk about the lost pets that Nancy has worked with. She has a track record of over 120 animals that she's helped reunite with their family after they've been lost. And then we're going to talk about the end-of-life sessions that Nancy does. I don't think I had ever seen a communicator who had any specific specialty for working with pets at the end of their life and helping you as the pet parent make those decisions and find out what your pet wants you to know in their last moments. And I thought that was really special. And so we'll get some wisdom from the end of life sessions that Nancy does also. And of course, Nancy will tell us about her Creature Preacher podcast. I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to hear this conversation with Nancy Mello. So we are here today with Nancy Mello. Nancy, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So I wasn't sure whether to say anything or not, but this is our take two. And we were recording for a few minutes and then I don't know what happened and everything was lost. And I've never had that happen before.
Well, it was interesting because I was talking about how I'd had, how I'd been told like as a child that I was, the abilities of speaking to animals wasn't right, and having these psychic abilities wasn't right, and then all of a sudden it went. So it's almost like the universe being. I said I think maybe it's focusing on the positive of it.
So yeah, let's get into it. I always love starting off the episode talking about childhood experiences with animals, because I am not someone who really grew up around animals. I thought dogs were kind of
weird. And there was one that chased me in my neighborhood. And I dated this guy, and his dog would, his parents would let the dog run through the woods next to their house. And so I'd come over as a teenager, you know, trying to look all cute. And this dog would just jump on me and get me muddy and knock me down. And I thought dogs were horrible. and then my husband kind of forced my hand. And when I was 25, we got our dog. And then all of a sudden, it turns out I'm a dog person. So I'm always curious what that looks like. And because your abilities are so tied in with animals, I was curious what that looked like for you from a young age.
I grew up on a farm in rural Northern California, 7 miles from the nearest small town and 2 miles from the nearest county road. And I thought that how you got animals was that they were dropped off. I'm the youngest of three children. My sister is 9 years older than me. And my mom told me that as a child, the animals didn't start coming until I was on the farm, until I was there. And my mom, who is a complete skeptic to this day, by the way, she said, "I don't know what it is, Nancy, but when you came around, that's when the animals started coming to us." And so I grew up, my first dog that I recall was a beautiful golden retriever named Tina, and her and I would take long walks. And when I say I grew up on a farm, a lot of people think cows and stuff, but no, this is an agricultural farm. My dad to this day still farms at 80, still farms corn and wheat, but also pear orchards as far as the eye could see. And so Tina and I would walk together through these acres and acres of orchards, and she was my first friend, really.
That's beautiful. So when did you become aware that you had this ability that not everybody else did with animals?
I understood from a really early age that I was not like others. I also, my grandmother who had passed came to speak to me when I was about 6, right after she passed. So I was very aware, even younger than that, that there were people around me that I could not see. And so, but I also learned very quickly that it was something I didn't speak about, because when I spoke about it, it was not wanted. So it wasn't actually until my mid-30s, I tried to, and I think a lot of us can relate, where we really try to fit into the box that either our family wants us to go in, or that we feel like we should go in. Perhaps we're a family of doctors and we feel we need to do that or whatever. And so I really tried to play the part as much as I could. I married a military person, and we were moving all over the world. And I really tried to play that very traditional role of military spouse, and understood very quickly that I wasn't happy. I had suffered from depression and anxiety all my life, and I hit a point where there was no return. And I remember just screaming at the universe. I drove off in the middle of the night, and I remember screaming at the universe, "Why? Why me?" And I knew that there were people around me, and I also knew that I was unwilling to take that step. I had felt this pull that it was something I needed to do for many years. And I kept saying, "No, I'm not that person. I'm introverted. I do not like criticism. Not that anyone does, but I'm so sensitive. If you even raise your eyebrow at me, I shudder. I'm terrified of doing anything wrong or going outside the box." And again, a lot of that comes from my childhood. And so I'm yelling into the air, you know, "Why me? Why?" And I realized that I had a choice. I could either really end things then and there, or if I could help one person or one pet, then I had fulfilled it. And I understood that there was a very distinct choice. And I went home, and over the night, I had a brainstorm that I needed to create a website. And so my husband wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning and for work, and I'd been up all night, and I said, "Honey, I've just invested $100 in a website and I'm going to do this." And he looked at me and he said, "Okay." And he turned right back around, assuming he'd never see that $100 again. And that's the start of me, of Nancy Mello, of living authentically.
Well, I really want to thank you for sharing that with us. And I think that there's a lot of people that can relate to that in their own way. And so I always think it's important to, you know, to be authentic, to be the vulnerable person, to share that. And so I think that's really courageous of you to, you know, be so open and honest about your experiences. I think so many people would be like, oh my God, it's amazing. You know, like they would, you know, kill to have this kind of ability. And then realizing what that's really like to move through the world. And especially, you know, in the family system that you're dealing with, you know, I think a lot of us can relate to that in our own way.
I mean, quite frankly and quite honestly, I have lost my family over this. I do not speak to my family. I do not have contact with them. They know what I do. It is very public. However, I have not been acknowledged. I will say that I adore my mom, and I love my mom with everything, but she will also tell you that she is still skeptic. And while she supports me, she does not agree with what I do. My dad still does not acknowledge what I do as 100% Portuguese. So that's okay. I accept that. I am so grateful to be able to do this every day. And I am so honored that so many allow me into their lives. I think the reality is, though, it's very hard to make friends. It's especially with my husband in the military. I was very concerned about how it would look on him, and we had to have a very honest conversation. I just told my son this morning when we were going to school, I said, remember, don't mention what mom does at school. He's 9 years old, and I have to remind my children that my daughter is in high school and she has lost friends over what mom does. So I it's beautiful, and I love that there's such a change. And even in the last 5 years, there's been such a love and acceptance towards people that have abilities. However, I think the reality is there are a lot of people that are afraid of what they don't know. And also, I think there are many people, and this is in every profession, but in especially mine, in psychics and animal communicators and in mediums, that will take advantage of others. And when I first started doing this, I didn't, my role models were Sylvia Brown. And I remember going, you know, I'm not woo-woo. That was another argument against why would I do this? I'm not woo-woo. I'm very straight and to the point. I grew up in Northern California, but I live in New England now. And I'm very New England. I'm very straight. I'm very to the point. I don't BS. And I don't speak in beautiful, I do speak in tangents, but I'm very, in my words are I'm kind, but I'm also honest. And I made a promise to myself that I had to be authentic and I would be vulnerable and I would never, ever lie. I have a beautiful picture, and I don't believe in coincidences. I somehow found myself looking at a drawing made by Da Vinci. It's a very little known drawing by him, and it's called The Gypsies. I believe it's titled The Gypsies. And I forget, 1400s, 1500s, he drew this in Venice. And it's a picture, and I'm actually looking at it. It's right on the right side of my desk. And it is a picture of someone holding out a palm and then another person pickpocketing. And in 1400s, 1500s, Venice decided to outlaw gypsies. They kicked them out of the city. And that was Da Vinci's drawing, propaganda on it. And I remember looking at this and just coming face to face with it and going, oh my God, this is what I'm railing and fighting against every single day, is there were always animal communicators, psychics, clairvoyants have been around since the beginning of time. We have always been here. However, that said, there are people that do take advantage of others. And I keep this picture right by me to remind me that there are goods and bads, but I will always strive to live my life and to do this professionally while we all have egos. I check my ego at the door. I have no problem saying I don't know, I'm not sure. And I also have no problem saying I'm not getting a connection. And I joke that I have a psychic friends network of people that I love and trust in both the psychic medium community and animal communicator community that I'm happy to reference if it doesn't work out with me. I very much live by the motto of I will never ask you to book a session. I will never approach you. I will not ever approach someone out in public or online and say I have a message for you. That's not me. I respect your privacy. I respect your energy. I do not share information about sessions. I do not speak about the people I've spoken to. That is all very, very sacred to me. And I feel that as long as I live by those ethos, that you will book on my booking site, nancymillow.com is where you book, and you will book when you feel ready to book. You will never feel any pressure from me. And as long as I do that, then I'm okay. And every single day, as long as I am using my abilities for good, I don't like to gossip. I remember after, unfortunately, the Queen passed, I remember I am known for doing duets on TikTok. So there are people that have videos of their pets and I will do a duet. And people are like, oh, you need to talk about the Queen's corgis. You need to talk about the Queen's corgis. I wouldn't do it because I do not have their permission. I will not speak about an animal in public unless I have, or a person, unless I have their permission. I will not violate that trust. So you will not see me speculating on celebrities or celebrity pets. That's just, it's just not me. So what you see with me is what you get. I joke that I dance like Elaine from Seinfeld and, you know, I was just reading a book on being lost at sea for 70 days or whatever. I'm a voracious reader. I'm a voracious watcher of reality TV. I work out all the time, but I also do not research anyone before a call, even with podcasts. I do not look up the podcast. Everything I go into cold. I prefer it that way. All I need is a photo showing their eyes. And this is how I am comfortable living my truth. Now, other people and other communicators may have a different way of living their truth, but this is how I'm comfortable with it.
I'm so fascinated by the fact that there are people who don't believe, quote unquote, in this. And I understand more that people are worried about being taken advantage of. And I always think, like, in my, you know, day job life, I have worked as a paralegal for 20 some years now. And nobody ever says to me, oh, I don't believe in that. You know what I mean? And I also think, like, that we're all born with different skills and abilities. And mine are kind of boring. Like, I can read really fast, like really fast, like from a young age, and to the point where, you know, like in school, like I would be done the test and then I'm like looking around like, oh, like nobody else is. I'll just, you know, sit here for a minute because I didn't, you know, like I didn't want to stand up and be the weird one that's always done, you know, first or something. And I think about like my husband, he has an incredible read of people, especially if they're up to nefarious purposes. And there have been numerous times where we've been in Target and he's like, oh, that guy's shoplifting. And we'll just kind of start following the person. And like, there's times where we have like literally seen people like putting things down their pants. There was a time when we were in a mall and we started following a guy and he got really nervous and dropped his bag and just walked right out. And we went and got like the security. And, you know, these aren't, to us anyway, as exciting as being able to communicate with animals. But so I guess it's like we all have these interesting abilities. And so why, like, it's just interesting to me that people like don't believe that that's a possibility, or especially when, you know, I'm sure you have been able to show evidence of this in your life, you know.
Well, and that's what I call myself. I call myself an evidential medium. I call myself an evidential animal communicator. I don't speak in vague terms unless absolutely necessary. I try and be as specific as possible. It was the pink blanket. Now, animals, when they show me colors, pink, maybe pink, red, even oranges or even dark browns, light blues, blues can be grays or even darker whites. I try and be specific as possible, but honestly, I have no problem with skeptics. I was talking with a couple yesterday, and it was clear that the wife booked the call and the husband's kind of sitting off to the side. And granted, he didn't have his arms crossed, so he was a little bit open, but he wasn't, you know. And I was working with they had adopted a dog, and the dog was just it had a hard time from its past, which is it's very everyday for me. And the first thing the dog showed me was that it wanted to go on a walk and wanted to see the frogs again. That was very fascinated by the frogs. It wanted to get the frogs. And this guy just goes, he shouts out an expletive, just holy, bah. He's like, and he was just, his eyes just got really wide. And I kind of looked at him and he's like, how? And he just says, he said, how? And then he stopped and he started laughing. And I was like, oh, okay. Hey, great. I was like, and I was like, hey, is it okay? Or I think we laughed about it and then we continued on, but it was that aha moment. Skeptics are fine. My husband jokes that that the way he's able to understand what I do is that science hasn't proven it yet. That's his version of it as the engineer in him. You know, I welcome skeptics. I think what is hard for me is the assumption that because I am a psychic, because I'm an animal communicator, that I'm automatically a fraud. And that's a little bit of a trigger word for me, only because this is something that that is generally hereditary, and also there have been soothsayers, people with different names throughout time. And I think that because I pride myself on living so purely and honoring these gifts so purely, it's not something that we talk about at dinner parties at all, you know. But it was interesting because I was on a trip last year, and we were actually kind of talking about the trip before the call or before the podcast, and we met a lovely family, and this woman was a doctor, and we got close over the few days, and it was a cruise, and our kids were getting along, and I'd said that I was a consultant, but we were having dinner every night, and the first night they were like, consultant of what? I'm like, oh, I just consult with people and pets all over the world. They were like, oh. And finally, a third or fourth night, and we had probably a week left of the trip, and I was like, okay. And I even told my husband beforehand, I said, I'm going to tell them. So if they decide to step away, and again, this is another thing that like happens where if and when I decide to tell someone I'm getting close to, some people will decide to walk away, and then you won't hear from them again because you're a psychic. Oh no, you know? So anyway, so I remember I told this woman, and she didn't say a whole lot. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, okay, all right. And just accepting, okay, that's okay. This has been wonderful. And she said, I'm glad you told me. And then she actually compared it to being a doctor. And she said, you know, she said, sometimes I don't like telling people I'm a doctor. And I said, what? You're a doctor. It's so prestigious. And she said, no. She said, because when I tell people I'm a doctor, they immediately tell me everything wrong with them. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And it was that full circle moment. And I was so appreciative of her love and acceptance. And actually we are still friends to this day, where she just welcomed me in once I was able to tell her. And then she could relate it back to her own profession, which again, I had not made that connection. However, moments like this, with friendships, especially when we're meeting people, are few and far between. And in fact, my husband's job does not know what I do. And I go under my maiden name. Mello is my maiden name. And we are waiting for the day that breaks, because, you know, who knows if that's going to make a difference in his career. But it's absolutely something to consider of that judgment. And unfortunately, that judgment, whether you're a doctor or an animal communicator or a paralegal, I think that there's a judgment based on other people's perceptions that will, and there, we have no control over that. We have no control over what people think of us. We can just live the way we find to be true. And that's the greatest way to honor.
Well, I was just thinking that my husband and I would love to take you out to a dinner party. So I'm always curious like how you experience the communication. I've heard some people who hear a voice, you know, some people it's just kind of like a knowing, you know, there's different types of like clairsentience, claircognizance, clairaudience. How do you experience when an animal is communicating with you?
I hear animals and people like a train of thought. So for instance, you are thinking you need bananas at the grocery store, and I will hear something about the animal that I'm looking at. Now, I generally say I need a photo showing their eyes, but I can also do it without a photo. I compare it to a 5G versus a Wi-Fi. I'm still going to get the connection, and a lot of times it's going to be great, but the Wi-Fi is always stronger. So I hear, quote unquote, through a train of thought. I will hear, I want my red blanket. As for the dog yesterday, I want to get the frogs. And it was a hearing of hearing the frogs, but also seeing frogs jump. So I was getting both an audio in my consciousness as well as an image of frogs jumping.
Do you ever get confused of like, where is this coming from?
So I say with multiple animals, absolutely. So unlike when I am working in a medium capacity, when I am talking to your great aunts, people have different syntaxes. They have different words they use. So I can, and even different voices. So I can easily tell between your great aunt and your grandfather who was speaking, especially when I'm speaking with multiple people. When I'm working with multiple pets, I always say that animals sound the same in my head. So until I get their personalities down, and even sometimes after that, I will confuse them. When I'm working with multiple pets that are alive and past, I start with the living pet first, because I say that the living animals always need to jump ahead because they have immediate needs. I need my water filled. I don't like that ice you put in my water. All of that stuff. They have those immediate needs. Now, are they that immediate? That's a different story, but to them it is. So I'll start with the living pets. That's just kind of something I've learned over time. But absolutely, I cannot tell them apart. It's only until I can dissect their personality, or not dissect, but tell them in their different personalities that I can go, okay, this is, for instance, if I was talking to my dogs, this is Abby and this is Domino.
I was going to ask, like, if a Chihuahua and like a German Shepherd come through in the same way, and it sounds like they do.
They do and they don't. So I love that you mentioned Chihuahuas, because before I started doing this professionally, I was like, Chihuahuas, what? But they are actually one of my favorite breeds to work with, because they are some of the most loyal dogs. What I have found, and this is really fascinating to me because I'm very science-based, right? Is that you have a very definite breed personality, right? So what you assume a Doberman is going to sound like, it's probably not too far off. But then you have the autonomy, and that can completely change it. So for instance, I have a cattle dog. She just walked in behind me, and she is cattle dog. When my son was toddling around, she would bark and let us know when he would kind of walk too far away, and she will herd the kids. This day, if they are being disagreeable, and let's just say, and they don't want to do their homework, and I say, you need to do it now, Domino, bark, 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 and she'll start, like, she will actually come up behind them and push them. Like, she knows this is my job. So that's very cattle dog. But at the same time, she does not listen to me in an animal communicator capacity. In fact, if she knew that I was recording right now, like if I put this camera in front of her face, she'd run the other way. So you have the breed, and then you have the autonomous personality, and that can completely change it just depending on the animal.
That's fascinating. So are there any like common themes or messages that like dogs have communicated? Like, for instance, is it things like in their immediate surroundings, like, I like this, I don't like this, or, you know, like, are there any things that, like, are any kind of commonality themes that you've heard?
The most common thing I've heard is just attention, is put the box down, put the phone down. I'm holding up my phone right now. Put the box down, put the phone down, that they want that attention. I think that especially, and even in the years I've been doing this, I've noticed the need from dogs to connect more. And it's really put the dogs down. And you don't necessarily have to play. You don't need a whole bunch of toys. Although I do say you cannot spoil an animal. You could give them everything in the world. I just think you can't spoil an animal. You can do everything for them. But you also don't need much. And just spending that one-on-one time, especially when you have multiple dogs, is so huge. That's one of the main things I hear when working with multiple dogs in the same household is time. If you usually walk them together, you know, you will have dogs that like, no, and you know, if you have one of these where it's like, no, I need to walk with my sister. But then a lot of other times you have dogs that love that individual walk. And it's just that individual attention. It's very similar to children. So that's the main, the one of the most commonalities. The second most is honestly routine. The more anxious or uncomfortable your dog seems to be, the more you're going to need that routine. We are recording this right before daylight savings time. And oh my goodness, I will hear complaints for the next 2 weeks about you fed me late. That is probably number two on the list of feeding your, especially if your dogs eat once, twice, three times a day, feeding them on time. They know they may not all react. And in fact, they all react quite somewhat different. You know, some will come and stare, some will whine. They will all react differently, but they all know what time it is. And from a scientific perspective, scientists have discovered that animals, cats and dogs, can tell the sense of time, passage of time based on scent in the air. So they are understanding it. So they absolutely know when it's time to eat and also when it's time to go to bed, which is why daylight savings time is such a kick for animals.
I'm thinking of my dog Penny, who she would just go and put herself to bed. Like, you know, she'd just leave the room and just, you know, we had stairs up to our bed for her, and you would just hear her like if we were watching a movie on the weekend late or something, you know, she would just sigh, go leave the room and go to bed, you know. I love that about animals. Are there any common questions that people tend to have? Do you get a lot of, is it like health questions? Is it, you know, are they happy? Like what are people always wondering?
The top question I get is my dog happy? And the second would be, are they in pain? And if you're coming to me, it's what can I do to make them happier? What can I do? And what I love working with living animals is a lot of times it's little fixes, little things you can do, little changes. I have a podcast out called Creature Preacher, where I work with all kinds of animals, from cats and dogs to, there's an episode with the oldest living land animal, which is a tortoise named Jonathan, which I'm very excited that is coming out. There was one just released when we're recording about a dog that did not care for one of its people. So in that regard, it's just how can you help increase that bond? And so when you make little changes, it's wonderful how immediate you'll be able to notice them being happier. I get emails, not every day, but often enough where it's, oh my goodness, we shifted this and this is happening. And sometimes, you know, it can go a little bit longer depending on what needs to change. But a lot of times it's little things that can make a huge difference. And that's why I say, if you can put down your phone, put down your phone. If that makes them happier, if you can put your phone down for 10 minutes a day and just pet them, why not?
I'm just thinking that one of my dogs would probably be saying that, but with her, no matter how much attention you give her, it doesn't ever quite seem to be enough. So one of the things I saw about you online that I thought was really fascinating is that you have worked with a lot of lost pets and that you've been really successful in helping people recover them. How did you discover this particular like niche?
Just like everything else, where I was called to do it, I helped with my first missing dog right around the start of COVID. And I'll never forget, I got this random DM on Instagram, and I was getting out of the shower, and I remember it was like late at night, and someone's like, I have a missing dog. And I'm like, eh. And it's diabetic, and it's been 2 or 3 days. And I went, oh, okay, shoot, okay. And thankfully, we were able to find all of our within 24 hours. And he had been stuck under, they had searched this place that I had said, I remember saying it's a long dirt road. And I remember going, them saying, long dirt road, we're in Long Island. There are no long dirt roads here. And I described where Oliver was. And he had been stuck under a shed. I remember identifying the shed. And I remember him just saying, stuck, stuck, stuck. And somehow, some way, and again, I don't know what's possible. I just do it. I just try. And I remember telling Oliver, like, you have to get unstuck. You have to, like, pull as hard as you can. And he was found 12 hours later, dazed, catatonic, right near where I said. And they rushed him to the veterinarian, and he is still alive today. And I am still in contact with his family after a few years.
Oh, that's wonderful. One other thing I saw that you did that I had never seen specifically this way before was about like end of life preparations. And we had an experience with someone who does something similar but slightly different in soul sessions. And she had done a session with our dog Penny. And I want to say it was like in like May of 2022. And Penny was like an older gal at that time, but she had no super serious like health issue. And the message that was coming through was what she wanted for her end of life preparation. And that really kind of freaked me out because I'm like, you know, she's pretty healthy. And it's kind of said like, it's not going to be tomorrow, but like soon. And she passed away about 7 months later with a very unexpected thing that happened. And I was so glad that we had this kind of idea of what kind of like ceremony or what to do for her. And it brought us, it was such a devastating thing because it was so unexpected. But I was like, at least I know her wishes and that I could do this for her, you know? And like, so I thought that that was really special, that that's something that you do.
Yeah. So I, and again, it is one of those things that I was called upon. I was working with a client and I had already worked with her dog Cleo. And 6 months later, I got a DM and she said, Cleo is getting ready to go. And we talked to Cleo and Cleo had a bucket list. There were things that she wanted to do. And while I knew this person in the area I live in, I'd never been to her house. I don't know her kids' names. I knew nothing about her, but Cleo was able to identify these very specific things that she wanted to do by the house. And she wanted to watch a very certain bird that they had near their house. And there was all this very specific things. And I had the honor of going and visiting her right before she passed. And I'll never forget, I pulled up and there was this black dog that was walking, and Cleo was this beautiful white, I forget the breed, but a beautiful white dog. And there was this black dog that walked in across when I was pulling up. And I go in and I'll never forget, Cleo lifted her head and she said, are you here to take me? And I said, no, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm just here to say hello. And she had already let us know where she wanted to pass. She wanted to go outside and there was this beautiful hill, and her mom came into the room and she said, well, the black dog is waiting for me and I can't wait to play with the black dog. And I told her mom, I said, that's so interesting. I said, when I walked up, this black dog walked across. And the mom said, oh, that's the neighbor's new black dog, that Cleo had a best friend that was this black poodle that was next door that just passed about 6 months ago. And so sure enough, Cleo's friend was waiting for her. The story doesn't end there. And this is what you can't make this up. So Cleo passes and it's beautiful. And maybe about a week later, Cleo's mom texts me and says, I had a dream. And she said that Cleo was in the dream, but she was on like a movie screen and there were lights. And she said that she saw me speaking and there was Cleo's photo. And Cleo said, you'll see me in lights. And her mom said, it was just really interesting. I don't know what it meant. Here you go. And I was like, oh, thank you so much for sharing. And not more than 6 months later, I get contacted from Dogster Magazine wanting to feature me in an article about end of life care for dogs. And so I was like, okay, sure. Great. I have the interview over the phone, and I mentioned Cleo. I just said, yeah, Cleo was the first dog, and she really inspired me to continue to do this. And less than a year after Cleo passes, she ends up in a in Dogster magazine in the December-January 2021 maybe issue of Dogster magazine. And so the fact that I not only did I play a part in her life, but she played a part in mine was just, I mean, it was a 180. I mean, the fact that Cleo was telling her mom, no, 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 I'm helping her now. And what, and I mean, I tear up just thinking about it, because if it wasn't for Cleo, I mean, it was just, it was such a beautiful, and even for her mom, and like I, when it, when I was contacted, when it came out, I said, oh my gosh. And so Cleo lives on to this day in this magazine. Aww. All because her mom reached out to me and said, hey, and trusted me and gave me this honor of talking to her. I work now, I work with End of Life Pets 4 or 5 times a week at least. And it's such an honor. I struggle to find the words for the honor that I feel, because it's such an intimate conversation, and to be able to give them a voice and then to see those wishes fulfilled. Or not only that, sometimes for their lives extended. I'll never forget, I had a gentleman, and he was I speak with a lot of women, but there was this very broad-shouldered man that I would not want to meet in a back alley. And he had a pit bull that was passing, and I see him on the screen, and I was just like, oh my goodness. And he was very, very gruff, which is okay. But he just wanted to know what his pit bull wanted. And she kept saying, and she hadn't eaten in 3 days, maybe, when we had chatted. And she kept saying, I want the red meat. I want the red meat. And he was like, what, the red meat? And I was like, yeah, the red chewy meat. And he said, the red meat. And he said, I have raw steak right behind the camera. He said, do you think she means that? And I was like, I don't know. I'm not a veterinarian. I don't know if you should give raw steak to a dog. And he's like, should I do it? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, I'm going to do it. Screw it. And he just plops the raw meat on the ground, and she eats for the first time. And believe it or not, that dog lived another 3 weeks off of raw meat. The veterinarian said they'd never seen anything like it, but that's what she, for whatever reason, that's what her body was craving. And so that extended that time together. So sometimes it is, this is what I want. This is what I can sustain. And it gives them a little extra time. Now, it doesn't always happen like that, but it's beautiful. And I always say the highest honor you can give your pet is helping them cross over. Because a lot of times, while it's beautiful to think about them falling asleep and not waking up, the reality is a lot of times it doesn't happen. When it does, it's wonderful. But a lot of times we have to make that choice. And to help an animal cross, it's a beautiful moment, because you are acknowledging that their quality of life is not there. So I think just talking to your pet, if you're entering that stage, and also giving them permission, it's okay to go. A lot of times they will wait for permission, is sometimes all they need. I have, for what it's worth, I've never met a pet afraid to pass. They have a beautiful understanding that life continues on. And a lot of times, just like in Cleo's case, where she identified her friend that was waiting for her, I will see animals waiting for them. And it's childhood. It could be our childhood pets. It could be our grandparents' pets. It's not just animals they knew. Some people say, well, my dog didn't like anyone. Well, just because they didn't like anyone in life doesn't mean that your torty cat that was really, you know, by you isn't walking them over. They're not going to go, I don't like anyone. No, I don't want you. No, they will accept that love. And you know, it's beautiful. I actually was working with a bird in Japan. And this bird was a parakeet. And this was actually after the fact. The bird had passed. And the owner was just grief-stricken because the bird had passed on the way to the vet. And the bird said, well, I flew away. I got to fly away. And unbeknownst to me, the bird had broken its wing and had not been able to fly for years. And it, when it described, it was able to fly through the car. And again, I didn't even realize that they'd passed in the car, but I was able to fly through the car. And they were so excited about flying again. So when I hear those messages, it's just, it's that, again, that confirmation that there's no way I would have known. And to know that not only are they safe and sound, but they're around friends and or your family. And both, actually, I should say, not and or. It's definitely both. It's beautiful.
One of the things that I kind of liked that you were saying, and I think you touched on it here too, is like that you don't consider yourself like a woo-woo person, where you seem to be in a very normal office. There's no like crystals and candles and tarot and things, no love and light. I just thought that was kind of funny. Do people expect that of you?
No, no one that follows me on social media expects me to be woo-woo. They see me. They see me. They know. They know. They'll see me like stuffing my face with pasta before a session, or they absolutely see me. Like, actually, if you look to my right, I have a joke. So there was a long time ago, I could not decipher. There was I saw this dog. So I was working with another dog, and they kept saying there was this white dog outside. This white dog outside. And I was like, there's this white dog outside. And the person was like, there's no white dog outside. It's a goat. And I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, how did I not pay attention? So I was telling a friend this. I was telling my friend Louisa, oh my gosh, Louisa, like, how did I not tell the difference? She's like, Nancy, have you seen, like, from far away, they look, they're the same size. She's like, they look the same. And so she made me, because I was like so like embarrassed. And I was like, because I'm very hard on myself. Like, why did I mess that up? And so she made me a picture. She says, it's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a, and it has a dog and a goat next to it. Like showing me like, no, really. Like, so don't take yourself. So I don't take myself so seriously. So absolutely not. No, like, so now I know though. So I'll be like, okay, is that a goat that I'm seeing? Is that dog looking at a goat, or is it another dog? Because it could be, honestly, it could be either. You just don't know. Same thing with the coyotes. A lot of times animals will refer to coyotes, cats, dogs will refer to coyotes as the big dogs. So, you know, it's okay.
Yeah,
but no,
it from their
no. I mean, you know, maybe if you just like booked me without doing any research, but no, I don't hide that I am just a complete and utter dork.
So do you ever have to, like, do you ever feel like burned out, or do you have
all the time?
Yeah. Like, do you have to do things to like restorative? Like, does it ever affect like your ability to connect or things like that?
No, because I know when to say no. And that's when I will go off social media. I love the fact that the iPhone has different like modes on it. And I literally have a mode that says not working on it. So I feel burned out all the time, only because I really feel this is a calling for me. I will be doing this the rest of my life. I know it. And knowing that it's a calling, I will always feel a pull. So for instance, I was just done with 4.5 hours of sessions on Sunday, and I have a client that I've worked with for years, and she called me on my personal line, and her dog that I've worked with was passing. And even though I had worked a full day, I was literally brushing my teeth when she called, and I still took the call. And so there is definitely a push-pull. Therapy helps.
Therapy always helps.
Therapy is great. I, you know, it was funny when I met my therapist for the first time virtually a year ago. She's like, what can I help you with? And I'm like, you just need to remind me to stop. So I work out pretty incessantly. I watch crappy reality TV, and I turn my brain off. So I don't, another misconception about psychics in particular, also animal communicators, is that we're always sensing. No, when I'm walking my dogs outside, I'm not sensing what the other dog is walking. No, it's exhausting. No, absolutely not. Nor would I ever approach them unless one of my neighbors knew what I was doing, which I really try and keep that quiet because I don't want them all congregating around my house. I like to work out. I love to read. I love to travel. My lovely groom of almost 16 years definitely keeps me in check. I joke that I'm psychic Nancy and I'm friend Nancy. So my friends do as well. So when we're talking, I'm like, okay, this is friend Nancy speaking. And then if they're asking for a little help, then be like, can we have psychic Nancy for a second? But so I'll say like after calls, okay, like mom is here. Right. So it's almost like I have to kind of separate them to ensure, but this is tried and true, right? I will always struggle because I will always want to help. I work 6 days a week and I have to have my therapist going, you need time off. because there's always going to be more animals and people that need help. And again, because I feel like it's a calling, it's kind of like, well, it's a need for me. I need to be doing this. So it's hard.
So you had mentioned social media. You have an awesome social media presence that, you know, I could tell that you've been working on. Is that fun for you?
What part?
I guess, do you get a lot of, like, are people really interested in a supportive way in responding to you?
I really enjoy social media because I can express myself. So it's very different. So I have TikTok, which is just my name, Nancy.Mellow. And TikTok, you're going to find a lot more duets. And it's just, okay, this is, you know, here's this cat dancing. This is what the cat's feeling. And you'll have kind of how to, like, I have a whole playlist on, you know, tips for pet owners. And then Instagram is a little bit more intimate. It's where I do, you know, almost zero duets and a lot more how to. And it's also where I do a lot of work with my pet podcast with Creature Preacher. And so I'm highlighting that. I find that Instagram, it's where I'm posting the story. So for instance, I was posting a story this morning about what book I was reading and with my little shot of espresso that we were chatting with before the call. Instagram, I think that I am a little bit more off the wall, whereas TikTok, and it's interesting, it's just interesting how it works. Whereas TikTok, I think it's a lot more just, you know, silly videos. But you know, I enjoy it to a point. I love the questions I get at the end of every video on TikTok. I go, you know, let me know if you have any questions. And I've had such amazing questions that have turned into wonderful new videos. So for instance, I had someone not too long ago ask about who greets feral animals when they pass.
Aww.
And so I got to do a video about who greets them. And I talked about how they're, and I had to ask this. I had to ask my guides. I had to ask the universe who greets these animals. And I was told that there are people that volunteer and they raise their hand and they come and greet them. And so I talked about that. And I had all these people going, I want to be a helper. And, you know, so I think social media is great because it's very, I don't know that you're watching. It's almost voyeuristic in the way that you can digest information, even if it might not be against your status quo of what other people perceive you as. And so I will get people that I've gotten clergy. I work with clergy and they're like, no, my congregation doesn't know this. However, I've been watching and I'm like, awesome, you know, and I think it's wonderful that you're able to find a safe space. And I hope that's what I am. And I'm authentic, maybe to the point where people think I may overshare because I'm just me. And if I'm having a hard day, I absolutely share it. So for instance, after that call at 9:30 the other night, yesterday morning, I was like, guys, I'm in rough shape this morning. So I think social media is a wonderful tool. And there are quite a few people that have DM'd me that I've never spoken to in a reading before, and they just follow my videos. And if that's what you need, I'm happy. I say online that I am just grateful that you are watching and thank you for hearing me. And I truly mean that because I had zero friends growing up. I was an outsider. I was the kid no one wanted to be friends with. I was an outcast in a lot of ways. I still am, especially with family. And so to know that I am helping people and animals, and if I'm helping you, then that means that this crap pain and all this stuff that I've gone through, it's worth it. It's worth it. And that's why I'll keep doing it. I will absolutely keep doing it because it gives my life purpose and it gives my life reason. You know, I have had a really rough freaking road, and there were plenty of times that I wanted to hit the exit button on life. And there was always something that stopped me that said, there's something here, there's something waiting. And since understanding that in my mid 30s, it's to have purpose and to know that there are people that love and accept you for who you are. I mean, what a gift. What an absolute gift. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for everyone that listens to Creature Preacher because it's stories. It's telling a story. And I remember joking that, you know, like I didn't want to do a podcast. And yet I had some producers come to me and say, no, we want to tell a story. This is not just a podcast. This is a story. And it's helping. And even through the podcast, being able to give tips and information through the podcast to speak to everyone. I talk to people that I think are relatable. And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm grateful.
I think you have a huge found family. So I love the podcast so far. One of the things, you know, I'm a big rescue and shelter advocate, and I loved that you were also using this as a platform to, you know, help share stories of pets looking for a home. How did you decide to incorporate that as part of the podcast?
I am so excited about the rescue element because it's something I feel so passionately about. I work with rescues across the world, from Kuwait to Japan to Kentucky. And someone asked, hey, can we get a session donated? Yes, you can. So I was very excited when my producers came up and said, we would like to do this as part of it. And I said, yes, please. So I love, there are cats, there are dogs, but also there is pigs, there are chickens. And I love it because I had pigs growing up, and I just have a soft spot for pigs. I have a soft spot for every animal, let's be honest, but pigs and chickens just somehow have my heart. Ducks. But yeah, so being able to shed a light on animals that need a home and giving them a voice for what they want. I love working with rescues and being able, I have some rescues that will share a photo. This dog has been returned 4 times. What does this dog need? And I can just look at the dog and say, okay, this is the kind of family it needs. And this is in the Rescue Me episodes. This is what I talk about. This is what kind of family it needs. This is what it likes. This is what it doesn't like. This is what kind of home it would be best in. And this is what kind of family it wants. And I have found that helping in that regard cuts down on the return rate of animals like almost 100%. Like, actually, I can't think of one animal that's been returned that I've helped identify what it needs and wants and then was adopted. So to be able to give that a voice it's another just way that makes my heart sing.
Yeah, I thought that was a really just such like unique and creative and exciting way to, you know, use the podcast voice. And the episodes that are available right now, the families have been so entertaining in a good way, you know, to listen to. Like, these are such like unique situations, and the people are very like live. They're not boring to listen to, I'll put it that way. They were interesting families and dynamics, you know, to listen to. And so I'm really excited about Creature Preacher. I'll, of course, have a link in the show note for everybody to check it out also. And so I know you touched on having your cattle dog. How many pets do you have, and what's your dog mom life?
I have 2 cats and 2 dogs. I do not have any more because my husband has threatened to leave if we have any more. In fact, he was geobatching for 2 years. And in layman's terms, it means it's when a military member goes and serves somewhere else and the family stays behind. So I have children in school. So my husband went to live somewhere else for 2 years. And I said, I'll see you in 2 years and you can come visit, but we're staying here. And I remember he told me no pets, no additional pets, because maybe a few years ago, a cat might have been adopted when he was gone. To be fair, I did not realize we had gotten it. I just applied. And then I get this text when he came home saying, come pick up your cat. And I said, whoops. And so that was the last time that happened. So anyway, so I am limited for now because I adore my husband. And also, one of my cats said no more cats. So I have two cats and two dogs. My dogs do not listen to me. My cattle dog does not listen to me. I barely hear her. And this is the truth. She, just because I can communicate with animals doesn't mean, and this is honestly the only time I found this is with my cattle dog because she is just stubborn as hell. And it's because she knows. She knows that I can hear her and she doesn't care. And so like I will tell her to do something and she'll just look at me. And that's just a wonderful dynamic we have. I have a cattle dog and a black lab mix. And actually my black lab mix, she went missing the first day that we found her and she inspired my work with missing pets. So Abby, who is actually just laying off to my side, she is a sweetheart. She absolutely lets me know what she needs and what she wants. And she is very communicative with me. Whereas the cattle dog, like I said, every time I have the camera out, she freaking runs. And it's just, again, it's a personality thing where I know Domino loves me. And I also know that if something was wrong, she would tell me. If she was in pain, she would tell me. And I have known in the past when she was in pain. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's very childlike where she's like, yeah, I know you can hear me. And what? Like, what are you going to do? Like, I don't need to tell you anything. Or the stuff she tells me, I'm like, no, because she always wants more food. She's on a diet and she cannot stand it. That's another thing I hear a lot is I'll hear like dogs are hungry. And it's usually when they're on it. I mean, there are a lot of dogs are well, if they are food motivated, they're hungry. Or also I can always tell when your dog is on a diet because they'll be like, I'm hungry. You're not giving me enough. And that's Domino like every single day. Like she's like, I'm hungry. And it's hard because it's reasoning is very hard. Like animals are very black and white. So I can't explain to her that she has a heart murmur and she needs to lose some weight to get the pressure off of her heart. Like she doesn't understand that. She just thinks that we're withholding food or not withholding food, but that she wants more food and then we're not giving it to her. And then she's especially mad right now because I got a cat floating shelf for Katniss because Domino was going in every single day, knocking off the cat food and eating it. So we just fixed that and Katniss is very happy. But Domino was like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh my goodness. It sounds like you have your hands full over there, Nancy.
I love it. I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's, you know, Domino, we got her as a puppy and I'll never forget. My son was he was just over a year when we met her and we were sitting in a circle and there's a picture of us and Domino went to each of us and checked on us and licked us. And we were like, okay, here she is. And she has been with us for 9 years and she is such a love, but boy, she is cattle dog. She is stubborn. She is like, I will help you with the kids. I have my job. However, I don't have to do what you want.
So tell us, where can everybody connect with you online and check out Creature Preacher?
So Creature Preacher is available on all major podcast networks. You can find me and my dancing videos on Instagram at Nancy Mello Official. That's Mello with M-E-L-L-O, no W, so M-E-L-L-O. You can find me on my website, nancymello.com. And on TikTok, it's just nancy.mello. And please let me know if you have an idea for a video, if you have a question that you haven't seen answered before. I am always open to answering and trying to tell you what I know. And if I don't know, I can ask the universe and create some more wonderful dialogue online.
Thank you so much for your time today, Nancy. You have been amazing. We so appreciate your honesty, your authenticity that just definitely shines through. And this has been a wonderful opportunity to connect with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so grateful to Nancy for everything she shared with us. And make sure you check out her Creature Preacher podcast. She just had Margaret Cho as a guest. How awesome is that? Some of her episodes are only like 10 minutes long and some are more like 30 minutes long. It's like a good mix of things. It's fun. I think you'll really enjoy it.
And what do you think about the number one thing that our pets want us to know? Put down the phone. That made such total sense to me when she said it, especially with our new girl, Nessie. I swear, like, she hates the phone. I know I am somebody, I have the Kindle app on my phone. I'm always reading a book if I have a few extra minutes or downtime. And at night, that's what I'll do before I go to bed. And she hates it. She just wants all the attention on her. And so I've tried to get better and be more intentional about spending just quality Nessie time instead of looking at my phone or reading a book or deciding what book I'm going to read next. That was a huge, huge thing in my head about put down the phone. That completely resonated and made sense to me. And so did the routine. Oh my goodness, our guy Nino needs his routine. And between losing Penny and him having some health issues and then adopting Nessie, I feel like his routine, he's still trying to like find his new groove. And that is definitely a big one in our house also. So my birthday will be coming up in June. And as a birthday gift to myself, I scheduled a session with Nancy to connect with our past girl Penny and to help me figure out how I can help Nino and Nessie get along better, because there hasn't been a love connection in our house. They're not fighting or anything like that. It's just not a love connection. They're just very separate. We keep everybody separate from each other. And that's really hard sometimes. I guess I always thought I would have dogs that loved each other and wanted to cuddle, and that might be an unreasonable expectation right now, and it might be me who needs to adjust the expectations. So I'll keep you posted on how our session with Nancy goes. So that'll do it for this episode of the Believe in Dog podcast. If you like this episode, remember that you can always leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's pretty much the biggest compliment that you can give a podcaster. You can always find me at Believe in Dog podcast on Facebook, or at Erin the Dog Mom on Instagram. So until next time, this is Erin Scott sending you hugs and belly rubs. The Believe in Dog podcast is a production of Hugs and Belly Rubs, LLC.